Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And the intro to the Luke and Pete show.
Let's take me. I'll make a new friend. That's hobo style.
That's hobo style, Chris. Shall we start the show?
How traumatic.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined as always by top London radio DJ and certified Japanophile, Mr. Pete Dawson. Pete, I'm smiling. Are you smiling?
Are you smiling?
I'm smiling.
Oh,
I'm just so happy.
You,
I don't know why I'm smiling.
You,
it's because as I was doing my slick and brilliant intro, in the serious tone that I usually deliver it, you sort of turned and gave me an awkward smile, like a fox.
Wet myself. You have finished everything, and more importantly, you couldn't hear the music coming out of the headphones, so apologies for that.
No.
But you could hear the Littlest Hobo when I was playing the Littlest Hobo.
Yeah, I couldn't.
Very confusing.
It's confusing. In the radio station with Pete in London still, guys, and
You're not going back, are you? Giving
it
the big
back.
Licks.
I'm here forever.
You've been more productive being out of Japan than you have in Japan. You've done vlogs, you've done two videos, you've edited those down, all nice. Maybe you should just do a few months in Japan and then come back to edit, in your little edit cube.
Edit everything here.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is, really. Yeah, I guess it's because in Japan the last few months I've been running around filming things, and this is the first month in like 2 months I've had nothing to film, so I've just been sitting down to edit. I really should hire someone to edit the videos. Actually, that's something I'm looking at doing, getting an assistant editor.
I'll help.
Take the put. No,
I'm a
won't.
Confirmed YouTuber,
I've
mate.
I've seen your YouTube video.
Mate, that was on an iPhone. What do you expect?
No.
Imagine what I could do with a DSLR. Imagine a gimbal. Give me some gimbal footage, baby.
I would sooner have Natsuki edit my videos.
Give
than
me. He'd use an old razor blade. He'd try and cut up the hard drives. You should give me a hard drive full of footage and me edit an Abroad in Japan episode.
We could do it.
In Sony Vegas 13.
I've often thought doing that as a challenge, like giving just everyone a copy of my raw footage. And then
that's
just
a really good idea.
Edit the video, see who makes the best Abroad in Japan episode. Whoever wins gets a free pencil.
5% of the proceeds.
Yeah, which isn't a lot, given it's YouTube. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I could do it.
Yeah, I think you should.
Why not?
Hand it over, big
let's
boy.
Let's do it.
Give us your passwords.
No.
Do you keep things on the cloud?
I don't keep things on the cloud.
Well, Chris has finished his Abroad in Japan cycle edit, and he is now free. He's a free man. The weight of the world is no longer on him.
Yeah, it's been so good to get it done. Journey Across Japan's finished, and a lot of people seem to be very happy about that, and I enjoyed the end credit sequence at the end of the. If you haven't seen it, guys, it's called 24 Hours in Kagoshima, relaxing in a hot spring. But for me, the highlight is probably the end credit sequence where we have a kind of all the people who have joined the cycle over the last few months, like you, Pete.
It's a little bit like in the bit in the Oscars where they do the in memoriam section where everyone's
except
dead.
Except in the Oscars, they wouldn't have a shot of you dropping takoyaki fried octopus balls all over your lap, which is exactly what happens if you've missed it.
I do not mind the end of that, but I will say now, Sharla comes off bad. Do you shoot a lot of women? Never shoot a woman from below into the chin. Mike, she's going to kill you next time she sees you.
Well, I did the shot of Sharla, she's on a roller coaster.
Ah, that's
she's
why she's
afraid
upset.
Of roller coasters.
I see, right.
My favourite one's Ryotaro, though. And his endlessly smug, glance at the camera. I love that.
I like that your fans, and they are fans, turn your little videos into animated GIFs, where it's like they had you in the locker room for the last video, and Ryotaro appearing like it's anxiety. I'm relaxing, and then my anxiety turns up, and Ryotaro just kind of dances into view. Hello, anxiety here.
Yeah, Ryotaro just causes me general anxiety anyway, given that most of his schemes involve trying to kill me in some way. Mm. Although he's been good this year, he's not tried to kill me.
Well, he doesn't shoot you from below, does he?
Not
not like you, you animal.
I know, but I mean, yeah, he does like to try and kill me. The last time we did a video, I think we went skiing, and he just took me up into a blizzard and then sort of left me to my own devices.
Right, okay.
And I've never skied off-piste before. Off-piste is like when there's no slope that's been made. It's just snow in general.
I don't think you should. Why does anybody think that's a good idea at any point? It's there for a reason, guys.
Genuinely, I think he did want to try and kill me, to be honest. Take the reins of the Raw Japan channel once and for all.
But I'm so glad you managed to get it finished, man. I know you're doing a little kind of a roundup video next, but have you recorded that? Have you filmed that? Have you kind of done most of it?
I'm still scripting it. It's difficult because, like, I don't know what I want to say. There's lots of things I want to say in the video, right? Mm. It's the Journey Across Japan was a 28-part series.
Right.
And there's so many great memories there. As stressful as it was and as often as I regretted doing it over the last few weeks and months, overall now I'm pretty happy with how it's turned out. And I've got to think about what I want to say. I've got to talk about how much weight I lost, which was a bit, before I open it, wiping it all back on.
Well, the preview.
The people that listen to this podcast, you guys get the inside scoop, and you'll now know that
the fat man's
going. I lost like 4 or 5 kilograms, and then I literally put it all back on editing it.
Yeah.
And I think I'm now heavier than I was before I set out on the cycle.
Well, the video preview that you've got for your I'm going to call it a post-mortem video. You zoom into your scales, and your scales are just off kilter by 0.5 pound.
All part of my plan.
No, that makes you heavier.
Oh.
You've got it too heavy.
Dear.
I always do that when I get on my scales, and then I go, oh, wait, hang on, I am holding a mobile phone, and it's a little bit out of kilter, so let's reset and see how we go.
I choose not to use scales in general these days. Oh,
there's that horrible video on the Absolute Radio Studio thing. Did you see that guy?
No.
I think he's a Brazilian gang leader or something in prison, and he had his daughter visit, and he tried to escape wearing a latex rubber mask of a young girl. He wasn't passing.
Right.
He wasn't passing in anywhere.
Pete, watching the world news whilst doing a podcast.
I'm also drinking a delicious drink from Thailand. Now, you know me, I'm a real culture vulture. I'll drink anything that I find in a Korean supermarket. Basil seed drink with honey.
You're not selling it to me.
It's
got Japanese on it.
It looks like frog spawn.
Can you read that? It just says...
What, there?
Now on the right, here, give me
it. Oh, right, okay.
This looks disgusting. It looks... So there's a drink of basil seed drink with honey. Mm. It looks like someone's been sick in a bottle.
It doesn't look right.
The description just says this contains... like 10% fruit juice. It says that in Japanese.
Oh, does it?
Enjoy your fruit juice.
Oh, okay. It's worth it. I'm enjoying it, but it's just an interesting drink. But we didn't come here to talk about basil seeds with honey.
No.
We came here to talk about your videos. But we also came to talk to you about your future. Have you started... Have I heard... Have I heard on the grapevine, on the basil seed drink with honey vine, that you're now a lecturer, a fully paid up lecturer?
So Journey Across Japan's done... working on some new projects. One of the things I'm doing is becoming a little part-time tutor at Temple University in Tokyo.
Right.
It's like an American university with a branch in Tokyo. It looks like, towards December, I'm going to be teaching a course, a workshop on how to YouTube.
Mm.
And I'm basically just going to show them your video. And be like, do that.
Let's do that, yeah.
Make a clickbait video. just put 60 things in it.
Yeah.
Give it a nice little voiceover. Job done, ladies and gentlemen. Good luck with that.
That sounds like a fun university. I wouldn't sort of look at a Tokyo-based university and go, that's the sort of thing I'd be expecting, like how to be an influencer.
Yeah. I mean, I've still got to work out the course. Mm. They approached me and said, do you want to do it? I went, yeah, all right.
Mm.
I'm trying to get better at public speaking because I've never been that good.
Right.
And I'm not that good at it. And I thought, if I do this, if I go to Temple University and do this course, maybe I'll be better.
Right.
Push myself, challenge yourself and all that, eh?
Mm.
Outside your comfort zone.
Are you good? How old are these people that you're teaching?
Any age. It's a course. Anybody can do it. It's not like a proper university course. It's like, what do you call it? Anybody
like
can do it.
You
just pay some money and just anybody can come along kind of thing.
It's like community college.
Yeah.
Will it be like Community? Will it be like the TV show?
Well, you can come along if you want.
And learn the secrets.
Learn the secrets.
You're full of shit, Chris. You're full of rubbish.
Come into my bespoke course and troll me, why don't you?
Yeah. I heard you do terrible pictures of people at the end of videos across Japan. Awful. Well, congratulations on you. When are you starting? When can people get a slice of the...
It'll be in December. I will promote it. I'll definitely promote it.
Mm.
Yeah, it's going to be in December, and I've still got Pran. Pran. Still got to plan the curriculum. What's going on with my mouth today? I've got to plan the curriculum. Got to plan out how it's going to work. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Do you
be
have
a fun
to do all
challenge.
That? Then you have to do all that. How long?
Well, yeah,
it's
my
be
bloody
for?
Course, isn't it?
I don't know, man. Can they? Are you not just?
Have
a
you never taught? Have you never taught anything?
God no. What have I possibly got to teach anyone?
How to be a radio DJ.
How to be a radio DJ. Yeah, that job's going to exist in 20 years' time. Right.
So let's turn our attention to what's going on in Japan this week.
Yes.
So there was a recent study. Apparently, out of 144 countries, Japan ranks 142nd in the world for helping strangers. That's not good.
What's behind them? Who's behind them? That's what I want to know.
This is the Charities Aid Foundation,
right,
which recently released their World Giving Index, which is available online. You can just check it out. But apparently, Japan's not that good at helping strangers.
Right.
I read this and I thought, this is completely at odds with everything I've ever experienced. So I've kind of... trying to work out why this has happened. Apparently, when it comes to helping a stranger, Japan gets a surprisingly bottom of the barrel rank of 142 out of 144. It did do a little bit better in the other two categories. It came 99th for donating money to charity and 56th for volunteering time, which is not great either, but still better than the helping a stranger category.
Well, donating money to charity, the problem is, in 2019, it's very easy to measure the metric of money going into bank accounts because you can do it online and all that stuff. But with Japan being a cash-based society, you've got to have the buckets. And how? And it's quite hard to, you know...
Have you ever tried raising money with a bucket?
No.
I have.
Have you?
I went to Brighton. I stood around for 10 hours dressed as Captain Jack Sparrow, I believe. And I raised... How much do you think I raised in 10 hours with a bucket for some sort of children's charity? I forget which one it was. It was like 10 years ago.
Best start believing in ghost stories. Best start believing in Brighton.
The one reference you could always do.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Rush, our Pirates of the Caribbean. Yeah, how much money did I raise in 10 hours? Go.
I don't suppose I deserve that. I've not even watched any of the films. I think you raised £100.
I raised nothing pounds.
What?
Nothing, Pete.
What?
I actually made a net loss.
Unapproachable.
I raised nothing. What I spent all my money on this Jack Sparrow costume.
So you made enough money.
I spent my own money on this really nice bespoke Jack Sparrow costume, thinking, oh, I'll be approachable to kids and family people and they'll give me some money to go towards charity. No, I've got nothing.
Did you apply your own eyeliner? Because you could have looked a little bit like
I do actually have some eyeliner.
Glam rock icon.
It was a disaster.
And they're trouble, and nobody wants their kids near them.
No.
But
yeah, didn't go well.
Never mind. So you bought the costume, and then you were in the
hall. Made nothing, and then I returned back from Brighton, and I decided never to raise money again.
But did you ever don the costume again?
No, I think I've burnt it.
Right.
So apparently, Japan may be 56th in the world for volunteering time, but that is 23% of the population. And Japan has a pretty big population.
Mm.
That actually means Japan is sixth in the world for volunteering time with 26 million people. But they're kind of doing it per capita, right, as a percentage of the population.
Right.
And compared to other countries, a greater proportion of the population actually does help people. I'm a little bit sceptical of this helping a stranger terminology, though.
How do you even measure that?
The top five countries for helping strangers apparently are Libya, Iraq, Kuwait, Liberia and Sierra Leone.
Right. There's a lot in common there, isn't there?
They're all...
You got to help your neighbour because, I don't know, his house might have fallen down, you know, in a lot of these situations. So,
it's a little bit odd, isn't it?
They've all experienced war in recent memory. Who have you got? Sierra Leone, Libya,
Iraq, Kuwait and Liberia.
Right, okay. Well, Liberia less so, but yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's that metric is
didn't
very,
realise
very
you're an expert on the geopolitical situation in Liberia.
No, but I just think you. I'm trying.
Lost
to think
for words. That
who's
shut
the
you
footballer?
Up.
Who's the footballer? Who's Liberian? Who became a?
I think we've already established
president.
In a previous podcast. All discussion around football is banned. Banned from the Broad Japan podcast.
It's George Weah. Of course, it's George Weah. There we go.
So yeah, I don't know how they're measuring this, but I can't help but think it's a little bit too subjective to actually be good.
That's a sense, isn't it?
It's true. Like Japan, it's known that Japan doesn't do a lot charity wise, or it's not part of the culture. There's a lot of customs in Japanese culture that could go against this. Like there's a burden of obligation. There's a Japanese custom called giri, We're basically, if a Japanese person helps someone, that person will then feel a burden of obligation to kind of return the favour.
Oh, I see. Right,
So by refraining from helping someone, a Japanese person would also not be imposing a burden of obligation.
I see.
So inherently, by not helping someone, you're kind of being polite, by not having to create this sense of obligation. It sounds weird,
yeah,
but you completely get it once you've been in Japan long enough. You know?
Massively. Completely agree.
And also, you know, the Japanese have developed a complex code of respect and non-intrusion into the lives of others. Kind of just helps millions of people to live peacefully in jam-packed cities.
And also language barriers as well. The Japanese are an island nation. They can't. They find it very hard to talk to anybody who isn't Japanese.
What about the internet? And
telephones and fax machines. What's that got to do with anything?
They can talk to people outside of their island.
What, are you going
to
ring Libya and go, hey guys, what's going on? Want some help? Guys, need some help?
Are they
going
to ring Libya?
Yeah, hello.
Brilliant.
Moshi moshi, Libya calling.
I thought they would, in the rest of this podcast, we would try and combat this image that Japan is not very good at helping strangers. I thought I'd talk about some experiences, my own personal experiences.
Okay,
I've experienced kindness.
Mm.
Before I get into my five examples, have you experienced kindness, Pete Dolson, in your travels around Japan?
Yeah, I think people are really sort of, they go out of their way to help you. If you're a little bit lost, they'll literally take, if you sort of say to somebody in a train station, how do I get to this place? They will walk you down the street.
Absolutely.
Pretty much. They cannot help you enough, as long as they can speak your language. So I think that's very much the situation when it comes to feeling a little bit lost and like they're not being quite so friendly as they could be. It's just the language barrier, in my humble opinion.
Potentially. Mm. I mean, yeah, one of my first memories of experiencing kindness from a stranger in Japan, I went to a hot spring in Yamagata Prefecture, and I got out and I was just relaxing, you know, drinking a bit of hot chocolate, which is the drink you usually have in Japan after getting out of a hot spring.
Nice.
Bit of hot chocolate.
Right.
And yeah, some guy just walked over to me and just gave me a box of cherries. No explanation. He was like, this is cherries. And then I was like, all right.
This is cherries.
And they gave me the cherries, and then he walked off. And I was like, oh, that's good. Cherries.
Bit biblical for me. I've been reading that Tokyo Vice. It's just a bit like, don't take gifts from strangers.
Well,
take...
yeah, I mean...
Ooh, that hot sprig, that really old school...
They might have been really bad cherries, for all I know. Dodgy
These
cherries.
He's
trying to offload some dodgy cherries.
It's very Snow White, and I slept and slept and slept. Was that Snow White? Does she fall asleep?
She has an apple, isn't it?
Yeah.
She has an apple.
It's very biblical, isn't it?
It's
very biblical, isn't it?
Why is it biblical?
Yeah, the naughty apple.
Because
the witch gave her the apple, didn't she? And she ate it, and then the dwarves had to try and wake her up, and then there's a...
But how is that a reference to the Bible?
Because
the moral of the story, don't accept dodgy apples from a witch.
Yeah, exactly. So that Eve ate the apple from the snake. It was giving it the big licks about how good the apple is. And I guess snakes do give big licks.
But how does this tie in with getting cherries from a friendly Japanese man?
Don't be tempted by the old man's cherries.
Right. That's my first example, anyway.
that video you put on, the last thing of the Abroad Japan, cycle through Japan, that really old school sauna / hot spring looked flipping awesome.
It was really good, yeah.
It looked so cool.
Wet
war.
This is the video 24 Natsukashi. Hours in Kagoshima. And
Natsukashi, baby.
Did you see the retro massage chair?
Oh, my God. It looked like... I can't believe that felt good. It looked horrible.
Pete sent me a message after the video came out being like, whoa, that retro massage chair. Wee.
And you have to kind of turn it up and down your back.
It's a little bit... administering some sort of torture to your back because you turn this, like, handle around and very slowly the massage mechanism in the back of the chair moves up your back and massages you.
Imagine how many old people have been molested by that damn thing over the years. It looked absolutely ancient. Because there was one in the Airbnb in Tokyo, in Hobara, in mine, and I sort of had a couple of goes on it. And you sort of laid back and turned it on. It's one of those ones you buy in like Tokyo Hands or in the department store. And I laid back on it for a bit and I was like, oh, it feels really good. But then the next day, I don't know what I'd done, but it had done me a right mischief. I was in agony.
Back.
Oh, yeah, it really, really hurt. So got to be careful. Take it to the experts. Take your back to the experts, guys.
I was a little bit disappointed, though, when I came out of that hot spring, I didn't get any free cherries.
Unbelievable. Get your own cherries.
Just a retro massage chair. Second example of... kindness from a stranger, actually in Journey Across Japan. If you remember the third episode, I was cycling through a field, middle of nowhere, and an old woman at the side of the road hailed me over, just made me stop cycling. I thought something was wrong. I thought my car broke down. I thought a wheel would fallen off or something. Mm. No, she just wanted to give me biscuits.
There we go.
And she gave me some lovely custard cream biscuits and then tried to initiate me into some sort of cult, which I refused to do. But the biscuits were good.
Yeah, the bloody biscuits.
And
though,
I'm
didn't
still,
you?
Even though it might have been an act of kindness or it might have been her trying to lure me into a cult, I'm still going to put that under the category of kindness from a stranger.
Well, she made it into the end of the video.
She did.
Last week, so...
The also on Journey Across Japan, another example of kindness, got some free parsimons.
Oh.
Or persimmons, I never know how to pronounce it.
There was
in
a...
the one vegan for a day. Mm. I was looking for some vegan style breakfast in Okayama.
Right.
We went to a fruit shop and some old woman just gave me some persimmons.
There was a home builder in England, that Persimmon Shaw Homes. Really reminds me. Whenever I see the fruit persimmons, I think about Persimmon Shaw Homes. I just think about a two up,
do
two
have,
down little.
Do we have persimmons
house.
In the UK? I've never had them.
I've
or seen them.
Yeah, they are very nice.
Like in Japan, they love persimmons.
They are lovely.
In autumn, they're like all the rage.
Very delicate fruit, delicious. Big fan of that.
Another time, some kindness. I was lost in Yamagata City, trying to find an office where I was meeting a friend, and the shopkeeper drew me a bespoke map of Yamagata City.
Cool.
Right there, he got out a bit of paper and some crayons. And spent at least 3.5 minutes drawing me a map. Because he couldn't really speak English. I couldn't speak Japanese at the time. So we bonded over the mutual conversation of map making.
Nice.
Mutual language of map making. Cartography. And the map, I couldn't really understand it and it didn't help. But nevertheless, great map.
Great
it was
map,
a wonderful
guys.
Act of kindness. He took 3.5 minutes out of tending to his shop.
Right.
A shop
doing
of,
you got a map.
A little grocery shop to make me a map.
Oh.
I thought that was a lovely act of kindness.
Well, maybe one day you figure out what it all meant. Maybe it was just sending you to another cult church
yeah,
hall.
Yeah, another map-making cult.
God damn it.
A cult of... God
these
knows
guys,
what.
These rural guys.
And my final example of kindness, I was once at an izakaya with Natsuki. Mm. And we're just sitting in the corner, quietly eating and stuffing ourselves, smoking away. And
Natsuki never does anything quietly.
That's true.
I kill a customer.
What's Have you got that as a soundbite?
I kill a customer.
Have you got that as a soundbite?
It's
podcast?
Not working at the moment. I'll pull it out.
But we're seeing this little lovely traditional pub, and there was a guy on the table next to us who was sort of sitting there quietly having a cigarette and minding his own business.
Right.
And we struck up a conversation with him. It turned out he owned a sake factory, a Nihonshu factory, a few miles down the coastline.
Mm.
And after half an hour of chatting and bonding and drinking some of his sake, which he brought with him, he actually invited us to the sake factory to go in and get this amazing behind-the-scenes bespoke tour. And
awesome.
I went with Natsuki the next day. It was such an interesting tour. I've been to at least 6, 7, 8 times. I've been to sake factories.
Yeah.
And had a guided tour, and they're always really disappointing.
They're
they don't really
sort of
show
like
you the proper
planned.
Bit.
Yeah,
they're very planned.
But because he knows his stuff and
choreographed,
he owns it.
This guy gave us an all-access pass to just go wherever he wanted, and it was so interesting seeing how it was made. And that was the first time I've been to a sake factory.
Lovely.
And every single tour I've had since then has been really underwhelming and rubbish. So if you go to a sake factory tour...
Get the owner.
Do some research and befriend the owner. Just go to an izakaya and seek out an owner.
There was I had sparkling sake at the
Ooh,
weekend.
That gets you... That really can hit you quite hard.
Well, I really like it because it's like the old Prosecco, but it's less sugary and less aggressive.
Yeah.
Way less aggressive. So I'm bang getting into a bit of sake. I had it with a little bit of wagyu beef. I think it was Yamagata. Yeah, it was very expensive, but it was very nice. It was very nice, and it came with sake pairing.
I think it'd be quite fun to learn a bit more about sake. I've never really taken it seriously. You know, I'll drink a fair bit of it in izakaya. I'll go in and be like, give me the sake, give me the local special. But I don't really know the brand names. I don't really know the types that well.
I had a nice one called Tsubasa, which is obviously my favourite word, wings. on the way out with JAL, they served up a very nice sake.
Really?
Tsubasa, and I was like, oh, this is really nice.
Do you find
that.
Sake gets you drunk kind of quickly or... Because it's quite deceptive. It tastes kind of very mild at first.
Very mild, very light. But it's not as heavy as... I don't think you'd get quite as much as a hangover as I'd... Because the only wine I really drink is red wine. Well, the only wine I really drink is red wine.
Well, hangovers
not
from sake are horrific.
Right.
I've I've had like two bottles because I was like a foreigner at a party, and if you're the only foreigner at a big Japanese party, you get loads of people just giving you drinks, and they kind of want to see how much you can take.
Yes, okay.
Because Japanese people can't really handle a great deal of alcohol, and there's this myth that foreigners, particularly from the UK, can drink a lot, which is a myth that's true.
And you can drink a lot, but I mean, you still get as you know, but you can drink a lot, but you're still well, going to be the end.
Well, the hangover is still going to be horrific, and it was. You know, they gave me like two whole bottles of sake.
Nice.
The first bottle, I didn't really notice it affecting me because it tastes so mild. It tastes so beautiful, so delicate flavour, just very mild and sweet. And then by the second bottle, I just was like, and I actually blacked out, and I kind of just woke up in a pub restaurant alone.
Nice.
In the corner, like, how have I got here? And then they threw me out, and it was awful.
You ran to the embassy, clearly. Help me.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
It's the embassy.
So be careful with sake. But those are some examples from me, personal examples of kindness. We've actually got some here sent in from you guys, some personal examples and stories of kindness that you've experienced in Japan. What is the first one? We've got Pete, and I think it's Alex.
Okay, this one's from Alex, and it is from Alex. Hi, Chris and Pete. Last year, I had to go to Tokyo for three weeks of work for my company, and on one weekend, I went in the morning to a restaurant where you get a token to reserve a seat in a restaurant later in the day. While walking through the metro station, a woman, maybe in her mid to late 30s, going in the opposite direction, handed me a packet of gum and then kept walking, not saying a single word. I didn't know what to make of this. I didn't think she was trying to make contact with me, other than, hey, have some gum, so long part, of course. A month ago, I had to go back to Tokyo for my company, and after leaving a metro and Tokyo station's lobby on my last day there, a woman, this one, late 20s or early 30s, passed me and gave me a packet of tissue and kept walking. To this day, I am baffled by these events. The gum was opened, one piece missing, while the tissues had been unopened. Now that I'm back in the home in the US, I asked my wife about it, and we looked around on the internet and asked friends, and still can't make any sense out of it. Completely puzzled. These weren't women handing out samples of things you see in stores. It was just like a, here, take this kind of situation. We found your podcast in our research and thought we would email you. Can you make any sense of this? This has never happened to me in any other country. We're going to Japan in September for 2 weeks of vacation, so we thought about walking up to random people in the metro and handing them things, like a pair of dice, can opener, bar of soap, as it seems to be some kind of custom in Japan I'm just not aware of. Really enjoyed the podcast, but boo to your climbing Mount Fuji is no fun, as we climbed it a few years ago and had a great time. Even the packed like sardines in a hut ate a breast part. So thank you very much, Alex, for that email. And have you ever experienced, has anyone ever jammed a bit of gum in your hand?
I have never had gum. You get free tissues all the time
that's
in Japan.
That's what I thought. That must be someone
promoing.
Because
if you look at the tissue packets, a company usually trying to sell something.
Yeah.
Like it could be like a doctor or a maker of shoes.
Right.
Don't know why those two companies sprung to mind. But yeah, you get these tissues. I don't know what the used gum one was, though. That's a little bit dodgy.
Yeah.
If it was just gum in general, and one of the chewing gums hadn't been consumed, I'd say that's just a normal kind of promo person. But because one of the gums were eaten, that's a little bit alarming.
Maybe she just fancied a bit of gum.
Have you ever seen that thing
where a woman was serving pizza to somebody, and when she set it down, there was a line of cheese coming from the pizza to her mouth. So she'd clearly stolen a bit of pepperoni on the way out.
I've got a lot of time for that.
I like that a lot.
It's just an advert, to be honest, Alex.
It's an advert.
There's no secret there.
You're nothing special. Suck it.
I would strongly advise you to go around and give random people things, though, like a pair of dice, a can opener, or a bar of soap.
That would be interesting.
I think that'd be quite fun, seeing the reactions.
Definitely.
Mainly confusion, probably being ignored quite a lot. But go for it. But the mystery is solved. It's just Japanese marketing. And in fact, the thing that I often see, and we mentioned, I think, last week, was you get a lot of free cigarettes in Japan.
Yes.
If you're over the age of 20, people will come into bars, salesmen for Marlboro, will come into bars and restaurants and just be like, do you want some free cigarettes?
I've seen some vaping guys.
It's crazy, given how we've outruled any form of branding and marketing for cigarettes and tobacco in the UK. And over in Japan, you can literally get them for free for doing nothing. Insane.
Not right.
But that's an extreme example.
Yeah.
Usually it's just tissues, unfortunately.
Oh, well, never mind. Well, people get sweaty.
Too bad. We've got one from Danielle. It says, hi, Chris and Pete.
Hi.
My name's Danielle. I'm from Canada. My boyfriend and I are currently on a road trip around the UK, and we've been listening to the podcast to pass the time, and it's been great. The other week, a listener sent in a story about how a passerby helped her, and I found it so touching that it reminded me of my travels around Japan. In 2016, I lived in Japan for 6 months for a university exchange programme, and I encountered such kindness and willingness to help from Japanese people. It was honestly some of the best memories of my life. One such instance was when I finished studying in Nagasaki and decided to spend the rest of August backpacking around the country from there to Tokyo for my return flight. I wanted to save money, so I hitchhiked and couch surfed, and I felt so safe and met such amazing people. That's pretty good. Mm. I noticed a lot of my friends actually do hitchhiking in Japan.
Does that work? Do people?
It does work, surprisingly.
Ooh.
You think? I mean,
small cars,
given that
as well.
Japanese people aren't kind, according to the study.
Yeah.
Most people I know have had great success hitchhiking, and you should definitely do that for your next video, Pete.
How do you sort of get across? Just sort of, I want to get
stand on a highway and wave a stick.
Saying, I want to get to Tokyo. I want to go to Tokyo.
Yeah, just have a big sign saying Tokyo, and the truck driver will take you along.
Because I can't drive, that would be perfect.
Well, you can do it in segments. You could go one city from a time.
Nice.
I mean, Danielle went from Nagasaki to Tokyo. That's a long journey. You could probably do that in three parts. Nagasaki to Fukuoka, Fukuoka to Osaka, Osaka to Tokyo.
Well, you could kind of, because that's kind
three
of a main
of
artery, isn't it? And also, you could just, even if people are kind of like turning off and going to a different town, just drop us off at 7-Eleven, because a lot of 7-Elevens are on like, garage situations, aren't they?
Or a highway service station. Back onto the story. When I was hitchhiking from Kumamoto to Kagoshima, an older couple offered to pick me up. And the moment they did, they gave me some ice green tea and fruit jelly. And then, after talking to them for a bit in Japanese, they asked if I was in a rush to get to my next destination. I said no, and what I experienced next was unbelievable. They treated me to a delicious seafood lunch, took me sightseeing around the area, and even bought me an omiyage, souvenir. Doesn't say what the souvenir was. I, of course, tried to insist that I didn't need all that, that I could pay for myself, and that I didn't want to trouble them, but they wouldn't have it. They just said they wanted me to have a good time. I'll never forget that couple that helped me make the start of my trip. Helped me make the start of the trip amazing. Danielle. That's a lovely story, see?
Sex people.
Kindness. You've trashed that lovely story. Lovely
sex
story.
People, swingers.
Ruined
swingers. Sex people. Sex cult. It is a
speechless.
Lovely story. It is a lovely story.
It is nice. And that's completely believable.
Massively, I'm well off for a bit of hitchhiking. Actually, I'm not, because I don't like imposing
like
myself
people.
On people. I don't like people.
Don't like people. I couldn't do it because I just think it would trigger a panic attack. I'd be standing at the road feeling really awkward and uncomfortable.
I'd get
nobody would
one.
Stop. Mm. And then if I did stop, I'd have to sit in the car awkwardly, just like so. And they'd be like, what do you do? And I'd be like, I've got YouTube. And they'd be like, don't know what that is. Yeah. And then there'd just be awkward silence for 3 hours. And then, and I don't think I could bear that.
And if this was part of the video, that you'd need a cameraman with you, so there'd be someone else in the car to take.
Yeah, there'd be a cameraman. It'd just be rubbish and awkward. But we should probably do a video about it.
Oh, definitely.
We should do a race. Pete Donaldson and Chris travel across Japan, hitchhiking adventure.
Where did Pete go? He got murdered. He joined a cult and then got murdered. Oh, dear. We've got an email from... Is this Gabe from New York City?
Yes.
Yes. Hi, Chris and Pete. I just found the podcast and your videos were instrumental in planning my first trip to Japan a few months ago. I presume they're talking about my videos. There's been a lot of talk going out on your show about horrible experiences with scammers luring people into shady clubs and swindling them out of thousands of dollars. But let me tell you, if you want to have a good time, just turn the tables.
Let me
explain. On our very first night in Japan, my girlfriend and I were starting the night with some strong zeros outside a Shibuya 7-Eleven. Shibuya! Just a few feet away, there was a group of four rough-looking Tokyoites doing the same thing.
Rough-looking Tokyoites.
Ooh. Hard city men and women, I presume. Usually not much of a conversationalist. I decided tonight was the night to try and just strike up a conversation with strangers who don't speak my language. My girlfriend tried to dissuade me, but I was on a mission to make friends. I beckoned to them, got my phone out, and typed into Google Translate, "Today is my 25th birthday," which, get this, was true.
Wow.
Is that really so unlike, I can't believe this.
I'm curious why he didn't start the story off as, it was my 25th birthday and I was standing, anyway, I'm not here to have an argument with the narrative structure of the fax machine. Stories continue.
Put that at the end, P.S.
Yeah.
It was my 25th birthday. They huddled around, squinted, read it, went wide-eyed and shouted, "Oh, Bastardy boy! Bastardy boy!" And just like that, I was the toast of the town. They pointed to a bar across the street and said, "We take you there, no cover, champagne," and so on. And wow, boy, did they take us there. The leader of the back was clearly a regular. He talked the bouncer into letting us in without a cover, and we crammed into a sticker-covered elevator and merged into a dark, smoked-filled...
Sticker-covered elevator.
...filled nightclub. Mm. The elevators in Japan are always covered in stickers and carpet, and
I
so
wonder
small.
Why that is. My apartment in Sendai has an elevator and it's got carpet stuck to the walls of the elevator.
Yeah, I think it's to protect
it's
it.
But just the most unpleasant elevator.
It's like when
ever.
old people put plastic, leave the plastic wrap over their sofas and they just leave it there. It's like, well, yeah,
I've never got that either.
Your sofas do look nice, but they are encased in plastic. Anyway, the leader of the pack was regular, got us up into the elevator. Our friend took it upon ourselves to introduce us to everyone in the club. His arm around me, pointed to me and saying, "My friend, my friend!" The shots and champagne ensued, and as I met more and more hip Japanese youngsters, I realised something. Almost every other person we met said they were a lapper. We didn't get it. Lapper. Oh, right, a rapper. I see, sorry. He's tricked me into being a bit racist. Then the house music stopped and MC got on stage, worked the crowd and introduced someone we had just been talking to. The previously mild-mannered guy swaggers up on stage to a raucous crowd. The DJ behind him drops the beat and he starts dropping what must have been the hottest rhymes in Honshu.
I love that.
He finishes up and another guy goes up and does the same. We quickly realised we were in the front row of a full-on rap showcase and we had been in Japan for all of 5 hours. We don't go to clubs in New York, let alone a foreign country, but we surrendered to the floor and had an absolute blast. We stayed and danced with them for hours. They gave us CDs, didn't ask us to pay for them, and called us the cutest couple, and even wanted to keep drinking with us after the show ended. Us scaredy cats were worried about missing the last train, and we were very jet-lagged zombies, so we politely declined. Two of them walked us to the station and later they messaged us on Instagram to make sure we got home all right. Best of all, no missing cash, suspicious charges on our credit cards or anything. Best birthday ever. Don't let random guys harass you into going to their club, but you should absolutely harass some cool-looking people into being your friends, and definitely check out a bump and short Shibuya R Lounge. Thanks for all you do. It's good. I don't think I've been to R Lounge. It's surprisingly special.
What an epic tale. What's the moral of the story, Pete?
Hang out with rappers, or as Gabe from New York City says, lappers.
Well, that's kind of what you'd say in Japanese.
Rapper. It's hard, isn't it?
Why don't you do this?
Rapper.
Again, this is another great...
Why am I not a Japanese rapper? Good point. Well, good question.
Why don't you just stand out the front, say, "Today's my 25th birthday."
Tanjumi
stand
obidato.
Out the front of a convenience store... Preach about your birthday and get a free drink. That's a really rare and wonderful example of how
that's
great
beautiful.
People can be.
Yeah.
I've only had that happen once outside a convenience store in Nagano, where a guy took me to a New Year's Eve 2012, my first New Year's in Japan, and two amazing guys, one of whom was a rapper as well. It must be rappers. Japanese rappers are lovely. Took us on a whirlwind tour of Nagano at night. Took us like three or four different bars and a nightclub. It was amazing.
What is New Year's Eve in Japan like?
Basically like it is here.
Okay.
Lots of annoying Auld Lang Syne. I've never really been a fan of Auld Lang Syne.
Loud people. Depressed.
And yeah, it's just basically the same. Fireworks and Auld Lang Syne.
I see.
There you go, though. I think we've proved through my experiences and these wonderful stories that Japan is a kind place.
Yes.
And though it is the 142nd country out of 144.
You just said a very naughty word there.
What?
You started to say the word country and then stopped at a rather inopportune time and space.
I'm going to beat Pete to death. But for now, guys, keep the comments, questions, stories coming into abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back next week to do it all over again.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
See you in a bit, babes.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.